thanks for so many things that you do, things that you're going to do, things that you've done. Lord, we ask that you just pour your anointing of the Holy Spirit over this vessel that works so strongly in you and gives such good sermons to us through your blessings. Just ask that it touches each and every one of us today, and we live differently. That we just know that you are with us. Your presence is over this congregation. We lift you up on high, the most high. In Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Baptism last week. Yeah. That was such a precious service last week. And the message last week that went along was about laying up treasures in heaven, and that was the theme of the message. And although it's not going to sound that way at first, as we begin this message, it's really going to end up with that still as a background overarching theme. All of the songs, you notice that the songs that were chosen really had a focus on the Lord Himself and His presence in our life. And this is really going to be the answer, one of the biggest answer, but one of the answers to what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm going to be speaking. I think the Lord just really impressed this on me on Wednesday. We were in the book of Acts in the Bible study, and we were in chapter 5, and we were talking about Ananias and Sapphira. Can somebody tell me what that story is about? What's that about?
They sold partial of land, and supposedly to, you know, appease their share into the coffers or whatever. But they held back some, and because of that, the Lord required it of them, and He took them.
Yeah. Now I want to make sure that everybody understands this. The Lord didn't kill them because they held back part of the property. They sold a piece of property like others were doing at the time because of the great need. The Lord was upset with them because they lied. It wasn't that they held back part of the price. If you continue to read in that section, you see that Peter says to them, while it was yours, wasn't it in your power to do as you pleased? And even after you sold it, it was still in your power to do as you pleased with the money. So it wasn't that they withheld something. It was that they outright lied and said they gave the whole price when they did it. That was the big problem there, right?
And I think it's because they wanted to look good before the people.
They wanted to look spiritual. They wanted to look like, you know, they were doing as other people were doing when that wasn't true, and they lied in their hearts, and the scripture even says they lied to the Holy Spirit. You know? So, I mean, I can't even get my head around that, you know? But, and so, we're going to talk about lying. The spirit of lying. You know that old phrase, liar, liar. But I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say this, though. Liar, liar. The world world's on fire. And if you look and see all the things that are happening in this world, you know that there is a spirit of evil that's working. It's the spirit of Satan, his minions. You know, isn't it amazing? We have there's a movie out that's also real cute and pretty called Minions. You know, Satan and his minions are out there, and that is evil is increasing in the world, and because Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies, we should really understand that there's going to be a lot of lying that goes on in this world because evil is growing. That means lying is getting worse. I want to talk about this because we're going to talk about lying and deception. I'm saying this because probably already, maybe even from this morning, but I bet you last week, the enemy has lied to your mind and heart. The enemy's lied to you, trying to put in lies about other people, about yourself, about what the Lord can do, about this or about that. Something that you need to do, something that is about yourself, it's something about Him. The enemy is there to rob you and cheat you. He's there as much as you allow it to happen. And what we need to realize is that the enemy is a liar. The world is under the power of the evil one. And therefore, the world is open to lies. People are deceived. And to a certain degree, as we conform to this world rather than to the Lord, we open ourselves up to deceptive situations. We can become people that accept lies about ourselves, about our brothers and sisters, about our family, about what's really going on in the world, what's going on in politics, what's happening in the financial world, what's happening in the world of work. All kinds of things we can be lied to. Think we know something. That's what being deceived is all about, isn't it? You are convinced of something that isn't true. It's not reality, but you perceive it that way. Or you were told from the time you were a little child that something was so, and you've accepted that, and that didn't matter what the evidence was to the contrary, you even pushed truth aside because this is what you were told and this is what you hold on to.
That's what becomes a stronghold in your mind.
That's a stronghold. Absolutely.
Yes.
And probably more than what any of us would want to admit, because we're such spiritual people. We have those strongholds. We have lying strongholds that are holding us back. And it can come in all kinds of forms. I want you to turn in your Bibles. I think we'll start out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to go to verse 9. How many of you believe that you are in the time just prior to the second coming of Christ? You believe that we're close. Some people yes, some people no, and some people just don't want to bother to put their hands up. So I don't know. What you think? All right, not all of you. But you notice here in verse 9, it says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord will consume." Oh, I'm doing 8. I'm sorry. I'll just read that one anyway. That's not up there, but that's okay. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Which lets us know what the end's going to be. Thank God. Thank God that the end is a good ending. For us. For the whole world. There's going to be a good ending. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 9. Even him, talking about this at the end, right? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and what? Lying wonders. I don't think we have any clue. We don't have a clue what kind of strength and depth and intensity these lying wonders are going to be like. We have no concept, because it's going to come, the scripture says in all different places, that it's going to come like a flood. Satan is going to pour out of his mouth a flood of lies. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. And are we going to be able to catch it and not get taken up in a flood? I'm going to address a couple other issues here. Verse 10 says, and with all, what's the word? Mine says deceivableness. Is that what everybody has?
Unrighteous deception.
Deception, unrighteous deception. This says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And verse 11 says, for this cause God will send on them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, here's something you better grab a hold of. You and I better be pursuing righteousness and not pretending and not just saying it or really want it, but not really pursue it. Do you hear what I'm saying here? Because if we're not really, if we're not bringing things that God shows us up before the Lord, then we love that unrighteous piece of us. And to what degree does that mean we could get swept up in something? Yeah? You understand this? God's not playing around. He's coming back. The second time he came back, he came the first time, and it was For God So Loved the World. Yeah? And we have this period of grace. We have all of these wonderful, beautiful, loving things that's going on. But when Jesus comes back again, how does the scripture say he's coming back? He's coming back in judgment. He's coming back in his wrath. That's nothing to be sneezed about. That's nothing to shove off to the side and say, well, God just loves everybody. Are you getting the seriousness of this? God wants us to be serious about pursuing righteousness. Yeah? You think so? The deceivableness of unrighteousness, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And that's one part of it. Not wanting to even come to Christ. Right? And then secondly, as you read down there, because God's going to send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That's an amazing scripture to me. Verse 12 says, that they all might be damned who do not believe in the truth, but what? Had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, there's not one of us sitting or standing here that are perfect. And God is not going to damn or throw people to the side that are not perfect in themselves. Do you get this? But you and I better be pursuing it. You and I better be crying out to God to hate the unrighteous thing that we find in ourselves. We might stumble and fall, you know, we're going to have that kind of thing happen. And the enemy knows how to sneak up and blindside us and snatch us up in some thing of anger or lust or whatever it might be. But when we cry out to God, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But we can't use that to just go blithely on our way, doing as we've always done, and rely on the fact that God loves us, and so He's not going to judge us. No, judgment, if you follow the Scripture, begins in the house of God. Oh my gosh. Now, this message contains something of the fear of the Lord. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But there's also the goodness of God that's there. And He is there for you if you turn to Him. Isn't He?
Yes.
And it's loving, and it's good, and it's wonderful. And He's there to cover the multitude. His love is going to cover a multitude of yours and my sins. He's there for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank God. Thank God. Because we're all sinners, aren't we?
Now, I want us... I'm going to run down through some scriptures pretty fast. This is all just talking about deception, so I'm going to go quickly on those. The next scripture is 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to read these just to emphasize the point. I think it's important that God wants to pound this home to us. All right, so listen, so this is what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm just going to use verse 1 to show you what period of time he's talking about. Verse 1, 2 Timothy 3 says, "Know this also, in the last days, perilous times will come." So this chapter is talking about in the last days. So there's something very special about these last days. He gives a description about that in verse 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And then over in verse 13, it says this, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." You see, things are going to get worse. They are not going to get better. Things in this world, when it comes to lying, deceiving, every sort of evil, is going to grow worse and worse. And they're going to continue to deceive, and they're deceived themselves. Isn't that something? They deceive themselves. Has that ever happened to any of us?
Yes.
You know, you want to believe something so much that that you begin to believe it. Right?
Yes.
You tell your mother that, no, I did not take any cookies out of the cookie jar. And after a while, you start to believe it yourself. When you know that you've eaten that cookie. But it's amazing how our minds can just set reality aside to believe whatever you want to believe. Yeah, it's true, isn't it?
We get self-deceived. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4. So we're just going to go back a little bit there. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says this, verse 1.
"Now the Spirit speaks expressly." What does that mean?
Clearly.
Very clearly, right? Very distinctly. "The Spirit speaks distinctly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits
and doctrines of devils. All right? You get that? And then it's, in verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then it goes on and says some of the things they're already out there, aren't they? You know, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, or different types of foods, and it goes on there. But it's talking about lies, isn't it? Matthew 24:24, and it says this: for there will arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. There's that whole thing about lying and wonders again, right? You get this? This is kind of hard because, like I said, we have not seen the intensity of the lying wonders that we're about to have happen here in the near future. So it's kind of hard to really get to understand what this might be. But I believe that if we realize that it's coming, that gives us a leg up. It's going to be way beyond anything. You know, that you and I have done. So it says here, so great signs and wonders, in so much, which means, to such a degree, that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Wow. That's pretty strong.
Yes.
Pretty darn strong. Now the enemy, as I've said before, he talks to us about ourselves, little things about how we're not worthy of this, or we're not worthy to go to heaven, and which is right, the good thing that Jesus makes us worthy, right? There's all these things that he will throw and twist the truth, but there's something way bigger coming. Something, I can't tell you what it is. I don't know exactly to what degree and what it's going to be about. Maybe it's going to be about a lot of different things. Maybe it's on one particular thing that might destroy the faith of a lot of people. You know? I don't know. Yeah.
I feel that the younger generation now is what is going to be really affected. I was talking to my nephew the other day, and he did some things like something. I was telling him about sin and about God, and he said, no, my mom says it's okay. But I had a long conversation with my sister because I feel we can't be shy to talk about God, because
exactly.
I think that's where we step back and we should move forward. But I broke my heart because I feel that this is the generation that won't even know what a sin is. Because sin is becoming so natural.
Yeah.
And
people don't even use the word sin.
No. Everything's okay. As long as it's okay.
And that really breaks my heart, just to think that these children are going to grow up into a world where it's bad enough right now, but it's going to get so much worse.
Yes, I think so. It's going to get way worse. Way worse.
Kind of like, this is like confirmation. The other night I was listening to something that I couldn't sleep. It was Matthew 24. And it sounded like, we shouldn't be deceived because the Antichrist is coming first. And he's going to try to lure everybody, come with me, come with me. No, we're supposed to stay working in the field because Jesus is coming after the Antichrist.
Yeah.
But then this morning I was writing down the service I was listening to. It's almost everything exactly what you're saying. One was in Psalm 31, and David was talking to the Lord and asking the Lord to deliver him in righteousness.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was going with that. And then Jesus in St. John, chapter 31, said, continue in my word in the truth. And it goes all the way to 844, where he identifies the liars. the Canaanites.
Yeah.
What else do I have to hear? First Epistle John 2:18, that many in Christ are coming.
Yes.
And then it goes through to 20. It says they have the unction, the anointing,
the anointing.
Charisma,
yes,
of God. It says, and we know all these things from God, because it's the truth. And 21, we know the truth, and Antichrist denies the Father from right from the beginning.
Yes.
And this is exactly what you're saying. It's just different verses just say the same thing.
Oh, yes.
And to abide in God, right to the end, because God needs to be able to speak through us.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be one of the points I'm
exactly.
going to be getting.
Exactly.
Going to be getting to. Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. You use one of the scriptures I'm going to use right toward the end. Here. This is great because this is confirmation. This allows us to understand that this isn't just some message that Malcolm was just thinking about and put together. He put it all together. No, this was God speaking to me to have something for you. You know? So this is for you, and this is for me, and this is for the church, isn't it?
Yes.
These kinds of confirmations should, take you by your inner heart and go like this. Got the picture?
Yeah.
Get the picture here. Get the picture. Dan, you want to say something?
Yeah. I just want to add what both of these two are just saying and what you're saying, Malcolm. But it's who is the light of the world? Where are these people learning this stuff from? And I'll speak for myself. You guys can speak for yourself. But as a born-again believer in Christ, I have to obey God's commandments because I love Him. And they're watching us. So when we're in the world as a believer and we sin, we commit adultery, we're drunk, we lie, we steal, and we do this. Maybe not every one of them, but we're all guilty of something. And if the church doesn't wake up, then how can we expect the world to wake up?
Right.
And that's what Malcolm's saying. We are in a higher spot, just like the elders in every church are in a higher spot and held accountable more than the people under them. And it's high time that we stop complaining, and I'm not saying we are, about the outside world. And we need to change as a body and be that body as one, not single, but as one body.
These messages have come, and you've heard things before, and the hellfire and brimstone messages, all that kind of thing. But I think that for too long, we can be very casual about messages that want to get right into the heart of you and change you by you giving, crying out to God to take that out of your life. Because I think we can become too casual because sometimes there's a long period of time from the time that you hear a message like this and nothing's happening to you. God's not judging you for what you keep on doing. Because God is long-suffering. And He's kind. And He gives us ample, plenty of opportunity to think about the things that we read in the Word and hear in a message or hear through prayer or during worship, whatever. He gives us ample time to make that decision ourselves. And if we can't bring ourselves to that, or we're just not as sensitive to His presence as we need to, then He's going to move in with judgment. And people don't want to hear this anymore. Except you guys.
We don't want to.
But we need to. And I think you are open to this. And God knows this. And He's really speaking this to all of us. Somebody on hand, roll.
I've got it in my Bible. Demonic teachings threatens the church when its teachers are deceptive, hypocrites, and liars. Such teachers try to set laws and legal systems in place of the truth and mercy.
And I'm going to read you a scripture out of Romans. There's a number of scriptures today. Romans chapter 16, verse 18 says this. It's talking about people that that speak in the church, and they say this. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Okay, now I'm going to finish reading that verse, but you see what that's saying? They're looking to make people be in awe of them. They're looking to create a name for themselves in the realm of the church. It's easy for anybody who begins to become popular on TV or in a group, you know, to get a little puffed up. And God notices those people that don't get that under control in their lives. Because they're out to serve their own belly. They're out to serve their own interests, not the interests of Jesus. And this is what he says. By good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You know, any message that you hear from me or anybody else that speaks here or anybody else that's speaking during any of our times where we get together, or when you have a Christian friend over and you're talking and somebody says something, I hope that you are discerning whether those things are true or not. You shouldn't just accept things. You know, that word simple means to be easily misled or ignorant. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know enough that when somebody says something, you and I don't know enough to say, that's not right. We're all guilty of that in the political realm, aren't we? Because there, we're talking about, you know, the governments of this world are not the government of Christ yet. What does that tell you about the governments of this world? They are deceptive. They are corrupt. Every single one of them. And yet people put their trust in government and almost anything except this Word of God and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. That's where the world is. Everything outside of this. Isn't that true? People put so much faith into science. That's not saying that science, that things about science aren't true, but that's where their faith is. It's not going to work. It's going to fall down. It's going to fall apart. And, you know, it sounds good. Good speeches, good words. And by using those words, you know, lots of Christians think that if a person just uses the name of Jesus in a sentence while they're talking, oh, that must be a Christian right there. And everything that he or she's going to say, that must be true. I've been listening to a bunch of prophetic things about what's going on in the world today and what's coming out in the near future. And I can be a little easily misled because I just trust everybody. I trust that they're seeking God as much as they as they know how. And that's not necessarily true. They could be out for their own glory. Right? And you and I can get easily misled by so-called prophets that are out there today. They name the name of Jesus. Maybe they are a true believer, but they're not. But for whatever reasons, they're not speaking the Word of God. It's something else. It's mixed. And you and I have a responsibility to know what's true and what isn't, don't we? Okay. So,
I got a question.
What's going on, Mark?
We shouldn't sit next to each other.
Okay. All right, here's a question. Here's a question for you.
You're in trouble.
Do we do anything, or will God simply guide us through?
See, now I want to say that I think that there's
a false thing here. If you have been taught and believe that you and I have no responsibility in this whatsoever, that because we're Christians, just on that fact, that God will just guide us through. I don't know, I don't know what's out ahead there, but I know that God will get me through. Well, I believe that. I believe that God will get me through. But you know what? I think there's more to it than just us bouncing around life and think that God's just going to go moving all these people into the right place at the right time without any kind of concerted crying out to God to seek after truth, to seek after direction and wisdom. Those are the people that are going to hear and be able to obey. If you're not hearing because you're just expecting God to take you like some little rag doll and just move you around, I think you're deceived. I believe that's a deception. Now let me, it makes Christians complacent. I don't have to do anything. God will take care of me. I have nothing to worry about. Well, I have nothing to worry about either. I'm not worried because I'm pursuing God and I know He's going to speak to me. Right? And that's how you should feel. I'm not concerned whatsoever. I don't have any fear about what's up. Well, maybe I do. I don't know. You know how you get halfway through a sentence and you go,
"Oops,
that might not be true." So I caught myself there. But as much as I know, I'm not that careful about what really lies out there in front of me because I trust God, right? But if I only think that way and are not praying, not pursuing, not allowing the Lord to work unrighteousness out of me, because I'm supposed to mortify the deeds of my body. Those people that mortify the deeds of the body, they are the sons of God, it says. Right?
Yeah.
So this is very important for us here at the end of the age, that we realize that we're not supposed to be complacent.
Now there's a scripture that I've gone to numbers of times. So
I'm just going to, it's Proverbs 1, 31 and 32. And it says there that, is it up?
Therefore, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices? For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The turning away. You know what that means? The complacency. I don't worry about it. You turn away from addressing the things that you need to address. You're turning away from them. The turning away of the simple. There's that word simple again. We just read that in Romans 16, 18. That it's the simple who get misled by fair speeches and good words. We got to be careful. Right? The complacency of the simple will kill them. We can't take this casually. Even this message casually. Oh, it's just another message. No. God is saying something, and if you look back and see what God's been doing over the last numbers of years, He has been getting us ready for something that is going to be catastrophic. The scripture is very clear. At the end of the age, there's lots of catastrophic things that are going to happen. But because we don't want to think about it, we don't. And we forget. and we push it off to the side, and we don't deal with the fact that, God, I want to be ready for your coming. And that might mean lots of things that we don't even understand yet, the depth of what that really means. We're just bouncing through, thinking that everything is just going to go just the way it's always gone. And it's not. How many times has God said that over the last year? And because of his long suffering, and because he wants to let us know ahead of time, because that's the kind of God he is, we think that if it doesn't happen in a few weeks, or a couple months, that, well, that must not have been from God. You know that? That's how we think. That's how our stupid little minds work. God is giving us enough time to get prepared. And to go and cry out to him. Yeah?
What does simple really mean?
Yeah, that word simple. That word simple means to be easily misled. It means to be open-minded. Accept everything. Just accept everything. Everything is true. Everything is relative. What's your truth? This is my truth. What's your truth? No, truth is truth. It doesn't depend on the hearer. Okay. You follow along okay?
Yes.
All right. So I would say that God has us in the palm of his hand. True. God is sovereign. True. God is going to take care of those that are his. We can rely on him. We can trust him to the nth degree. We should be exalting in the fact that that's true and that there's going to be a good ending. Right? But there are some caveats to us walking with God where he wants us to be ready. I want us to go to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. Now, as you're getting there, just realize that the songs, lots of the songs that we sang today, this morning, go with this particular aspect. Verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Everything comes down to Christ. Everything comes down to Jesus himself. Your relationship with Jesus himself. Yeah, that's what it comes down to. His presence in your life. Man. And that's what the songs were about today.
And it says there in verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in your faith. As you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Aren't you thankful that you have come to Christ? Amen. That he has taken the burden of sin off of you, that you are saved forever? Isn't that wonderful? That you're going to live in heaven? I read something from David Wilkerson where he had this vision about being swept up and taken into heaven. Back in 1998 it was. Just reading it, it just does something to your heart. You know? It was fantastic. You know, that goes back to this, what we talked about last week. Lay up treasures in heaven. That's, you know, Colossians, jump over to chapter 3, verse 1, verse 2, well, verses 1 and 2. If then you are risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, or focus your mind, on things above, not on things on the earth. That's where our affections are. We still have to deal in this world. We still have to work. We still have to pay our bills. We still relate to the people in the church and people outside the church. We have a responsibility to witness all that kind of stuff. But our heart's affection should be up there.
shouldn't it?
And then it goes on here in verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding there in thanksgiving. Verse 8. Beware. Why does Paul say beware? Everything's under control. Do you see that there's something more than just knowing that God is there for you? You've got to make connection with him, don't you? You have to realize that there are things going on around you. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the elementary principles of the world, and not after Christ. What are the elementary principles of the world? What are things that can catch you as a Christian that you need to be aware of? You know what the main thing about the world is? Because the world's under the power of the evil one, is pride.
Yes.
Pride. And people who want to have themselves puffed up. You know, we all want to feel good about ourselves. We all want to feel important. And that could lead to, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that can lead to an excess where you're looking to promote yourself and not really the things of Christ. And that happens in the Christian world. There's lots of evangelists that are out there that have accepted Christ, but you know what? They're promoting their own ministry.
Yes.
They're promoting themselves. And it's very obvious. If any of you move in any kind of discernment, you can tell the ones that are and the ones that aren't. Can't you? Not every teacher and preacher that is preaching the gospel is doing it, with pure motives. Paul says that, doesn't he? He says they're doing it for their own selfish reasons.
No, by the side note, I'm doing my Bible
here. Go ahead.
It says, if you want to live the resurrection life that Jesus provides, then seek that new, powerful life by setting your mind and keeping it set on things above, not things on earth. The Apostle Paul is simply saying in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, that if you and I want the good life, then we must keep our minds on good things. Many believers want the good life, but they passively sit around wishing for something good to happen.
Yeah.
Often we are jealous of others who live in victory and are resentful that their own lives are so difficult. If you desire victory over your problems, if you truly want to live the resurrection life, you must have backbone and not just a wishbone.
Yeah. I love it. That's excellent.
You must be determined to have victory and refuse to settle for anything less than the best that God has for you. You must be active, not passive. Right actions begin with right thinking. Do not be passive in your mind. Start choosing today the right thoughts. Set your mind on things that are above and keep it there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. I like that you're here, Julie.
Thank you. I know I've been
working
a lot.
No, I didn't mean it that way. I mean, there's lots of good things that are commented on in there. Another thing I wrote down as far as like elementary principles of the world. There is a lust for power. That's what's wrong with governments. You know, it's a lust for power.
And even in the ministry, I think.
And in the ministry.
You might start out pure and you want to serve God, but then you get puffed up.
Messed up. And what ends up happening for this power, the way most people think about moving in power, is stepping on other people. Dominating.
Yeah.
And there are some people that are very demure kind of people that they don't want to inflict anything from what they think about things on to their partner or to people around them. But there's others who do have that go get them. I know what I want and I'm going to get it. And they get things done because they dominate other people. That is an elementary principle of the world. That is not the way Christ does things.
That's an elementary principle, not of Christ, to dominate, to absolutely have rock-solid control and make sure that the people around you do it exactly the way you want. That's an elementary principle of the world. Because that's the way you feel like you're in control. That's true?
Yeah. I think the other one, killing the person who looks who work underhandedly, uprooting things that are true and uprooting and spraying out lies and working from below to destroy what they want to destroy.
Yeah. Quiet people can do that.
And they look really good.
Yes.
Because they never make any noise, but boy, underneath
them. Underneath, they're creating. Subterranean things going on. Okay, so as far as what we can do besides trusting in God, knowing that God is going to be there, we have focusing on Jesus, really focusing on Jesus, right? And allowing His life to walk in His life, right? Like what we just read. And then all of those things about the elementary principles of the world, we better be sure that we realize that there are those kinds of principles that we learned as a young child, probably, or maybe later in life, and we found that that worked for us. We got what we wanted because we strongly did this or that, or the pride factor can enter in quite easily at any time. Right? We need to realize this so that we're not moving in those kinds of things. Because otherwise, I'm telling you, you and me, we will be deceived. We have the possibility of being deceived and swept in a tide of I don't know what for the things that are coming up. Because one thing's for darn sure, Jesus says it numerous times in chapter 24 of Matthew. Watch that you don't be deceived. And he talks about how it's just going to get worse and worse and worse toward the end. All right. Here's another thing. 2 Thessalonians. I put the wrong thing up there. 2 Thessalonians. So we're going to go back to that. It's chapter 2, verse 15. It says this: Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. You know, you have the traditions of men, but there are godly traditions. There are godly traditions that we shouldn't just take too casually. Can you give me some godly traditions that you should follow in your life daily? What's that?
The Ten Commandments.
All right, being obedient to the Word of God. Okay, something else.
Prayer.
Being a good Samaritan.
Being good to people, right? We're supposed to have kindness and goodness toward people. Somebody.
Prayer.
That's a good tradition, isn't it?
And reading the Bible.
And worship and reading the Word. Okay? These are all godly traditions. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves to get together as much as we can. Yeah.
Those are godly traditions.
And this will help us so that we don't get off into some error. James 4:8. Says, if you draw near to God, guess what He does? He draws near to you. When you're drawing near to God, He will draw near to you. If you're not drawing near to God, do you think that you're going to hear too well? If you're off in some vain pursuit? Huh? Think about this. This is your life. You better think about this. And then the one that Chris read, John chapter 8, if you would turn there, this is going to be the last of the scriptures. John chapter 8,
verses 31 and 32
says this. And Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you read my word once, then you're my disciples. Is that what it said?
No,
this is in there at all, listen. It says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. If you continue. How many people in the church, in the Christian church, they're born again. How many people in the church continue in the word? They have daily readings that they discipline themselves that they're going to read the word of God or contemplate the word. Maybe you don't have to pick it up and read it, but you're contemplating a particular scripture through the day. Shouldn't we be doing that every day?
Yes.
And if we do that, look what it says. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. That's what it's there for. But it's not for just a nominal Christian who is just really bouncing through life, not being very attentive of this word. The truth isn't going to set them for, there's levels of it, I guess. You're going to be in heaven, sure. You're free if you believe in Christ and what he's done, you're going to go to heaven. But what about everything else? You want to be free of all the other things too? Because I tell you, deceivableness is going to happen to people who love unrighteousness. Deceivableness can happen to those that are simple-minded, where there's no discipline, where they don't know the word of God. Because the people that are ignorant of what the word really says, they can get snookered. You get it. That could be you, that could be me. You guys doing okay? I know this is kind of a rough word.
He has said that you abide in my word, which is the strongest word.
Yeah.
He says abide in me, and he is the word, and
you
abide in my word.
Yes. And abide means to live. To dwell there. That's not just something too casual, is it?
So, to finish up, I would say this.
We should, if we want to be people that aren't deceived, we should shun lying ourselves. We shouldn't be liars. We shouldn't just be casual about us lying to people. We shouldn't lie to others. Don't lie to ourselves. Right? That's going to be important. We're going to need to seek righteousness. We need to ask for understanding of God's word. And we really need to appreciate and be thankful for what Jesus has done.
Yes.
And what he's going to do.
Yes.
I think if we live in that kind of joy of the presence of the Spirit of God, along with these other things that we've been talking about, there's no way that the enemy can do anything to us. Right? But we think because one scripture says that the enemy can't touch us, means that we don't have anything to worry about. No, when it talks about us being beware, there must be something that we need to attend to ourselves. And God gives us the rest of the story throughout the Word of God. And that's why we need to pursue the Word of God, so we understand the whole thing. Not just pick out scriptures we like that allow us to go our merry way. Because that's what's going on in most of the church today. It isn't happening here and some of the other churches around. There's good godly messages coming forth in numbers of churches all around. But there's a big number in the other Christian churches that they're not hearing things like this. But God is speaking to them, don't you think?
They want to have their ears tickled.
Ears tickled.
Now, I want to... Did you see the thing with the YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I just want to play. It only takes about 3 or 4 minutes or so.
Yeah.
There's a song that this woman wrote. I think we played it once here. that is called Hallelujah. And it is so beautiful. And it is such at the heart of where we find our joy in Christ, in what He's done and who He is, right? Let's just enjoy the words of the song once we can get it up there. You have that address, right? No, it's number one. It's the number one. You see it? Where there's a little number one circle?
Yep.
Let's enjoy this song for the words that it conveys.